Okay, Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. So now, inshallah, we're beginning. And welcome everyone, inshallah. This is our first session. We had a session yesterday. And we will continue this for the next couple of months, at least 2-3 months that we'll be offering the session twice. Moving forward. Okay, the purpose of the sessions. What is the purpose of the live sessions? Okay, listen carefully. Most of the theory and the teaching and the tools, okay, the grammar, the morphology, the reading, the vocabulary, all of that is given to you in the videos and the recordings and the transcripts, and that's all on the forum. Okay, the purpose of the live sessions is not to repeat all of that again. Okay, that's not the purpose. The purpose is to practice. The purpose of the live sessions is to practice. So in the weekend session, what we do is we retranslate the passages that are covered in the Stories of the Prophets book, which is our introductory reading text that we begin in week 3. Okay, so whatever 3, 4, 5 passages that are assigned for that particular week, what we will do is students will put their hand up and they'll retranslate those passages. And while they're doing that, the instructor, myself, I would be quizzing the rest of the students on the points that were covered in that particular week's material. Okay, I'll be quizzing them, okay, live, in real time. So at that point, you should have your fingers on the keys and you should be responding to the questions I pose. Okay, we do this for the entire hour, and then we take turns, and the students retranslate, and the instructor quizzes. Okay, and people ask their questions, whatever questions they have. You have 2-3 layers of removing your confusion or whatever problem you might have with the content. First of all, you listen to you watch the video, watch the video, read the transcripts, and if there's some problem with the material, then the first thing you're supposed to do is go on the forum and make a thread and post and ask over there. Chances are within hours you'll get a response. And you'll get a very detailed response. Okay, within hours. Okay, because myself or one of my senior students would go there and they would address it. And pretty much these questions, they're the same questions that occur again and again. So we sort of were able to pinpoint the source of the confusion. Okay, we're able to pinpoint the source of the confusion and give a satisfactory reply right there on the forum. So this is the best thing to do, and what it does is it also benefits the rest of the students, okay, because people have the same questions, right? Okay, the next thing is to hold your questions and ask them in the live session. Okay, now let me tell you about exactly what we do. Okay, I'll talk about our methodology a little and how it's different than what other people might be doing. So listen carefully. One thing you probably have figured by now is that in the initial stages, in the first 6 months, we do not have any textbook in grammar. There's no textbook in grammar. There's no textbook in morphology. Okay, people in the window, have you figured that much at least, that we don't have any textbook to cover the rules? I'm talking about the rules. I'm not talking about reading vocabulary, because for that we do have a textbook. For reading vocabulary, we do have a textbook which begins in week 3, but for grammar, there's no textbook. For grammar, there's no textbook. For morphology, there's no textbook. Okay, I'm talking about Nahu and Sarf. Okay. Right. So what I'm saying is that we don't have a textbook. In grammar, we don't have a textbook in morphology. Why? Okay, what's the reason for that? Why not have a textbook? The reason is because textbooks do not differentiate between what is more important and what is less important. Textbooks, what they do is they list all the rules as if they're the same. Isn't that right? So you will have details, you will have obscurities, you will have exceptions, and things that have broad application, things that don't have broad application. Everything will be listed as if it's equal. This is what a textbook does. Okay, what we do instead is we focus and we isolate and we teach the aspects. Listen very carefully, this is important. We teach the aspects of the language that have the broadest application first. Is that clear? Okay, so let me break that down for you. Okay, listen carefully. Let me break that down for you. Okay, there's 3 sciences that if one masters them, then they've reached their goal. Okay, this is what we want, 3 sciences. One is called grammar. The other one's called morphology. The third one's called rhetoric. Nahu, Sarf, and Balagha. Okay, let me just type that out for you. Nahu, Sarf, and the third one's called Balagha. Okay, so Nahu, Sarf, and Balagha, these are the 3 sciences that govern all of classical Arabic. Okay, the books are pretty extensive. The book in grammar, the classical book in grammar that we study in our 7th month, it's 132 pages. Okay, So we start this in our seventh month. Okay? The book in Balagha is 550 pages. You got that? Okay, and books in Sarf, you can get books in Sarf. There's also texts and manuals that the scholars, they teach and they study in all three sciences. There's multiple books in all three sciences. Okay, so there's rules that are contained within the books of Nahu. There's other rules that are contained within the books of Sarf. And there's other rules that are contained within the books of Balagha. Okay, once one encompasses all of these rules, now they've attained the goal, they can appreciate the Qur'an as a pre-Islamic Arab would be able to appreciate it. Okay, like the Bedouin, he fell off his camel when he heard the verse. Okay, he said, I'm prostrating to the verse. Okay, and this is what dumbfounded the Arabs, the pre-Islamic Arab. Okay, and you'd be able to communicate, you'd be able to read fluently, you know, any book, okay, whatever the topic is, vowels, no vowels, it doesn't matter, you'd be able to do all of that. Okay, you'd have to study all three sciences. Is that clear? People in the window? Right. So there's like, say, 100 rules there, 100 rules there, 100... There's a bunch of rules. Now, the thing is, not all rules are created equal. Okay, listen carefully. Not all rules are created equal. Now, what we've noticed, okay, what I've noticed, is that within all three sciences, there's about a 20% of grammar, 20% of the other one, 20% of the other one, which is more important than everything else. Okay, so this is like the 80-20 rule. Okay, you know about this, right? 80-20 rule. It's everywhere in life. Like, you see it everywhere. What is the 80-20 rule? It states that in any endeavor, in any project or endeavor or whatever you're doing, always 20% of your efforts will yield you 80% of the benefits you achieve. Okay, like if you look at all the benefits you've achieved, 80% of them will be because of 20% of your efforts. The most productive 20% of the time you're using, okay, it will give you 80% of your benefits. And the rest is just fluff. The rest, it's not that important. So what the smart person does is he focuses all of his energy on that 20% and gets the 80 first, sort of get the bulk of the benefits first. Does that make sense? So in the three sciences that we talked about, there's a central theme and a core. There's a central theme and a core that if one is able to understand that first, what that does is it sets the stage. And they're able to progress at a very accelerated pace. Okay? So what we do is that in our first 6 months of the program, we focus on the 20% of the language that gives you 80% of the benefits. And we do not deviate from this 20. And had there been a textbook, then it wouldn't work. Does that make sense? Yeah, because when I say 20%, it's not the first 20. So understand what I'm saying. It's not the first 20. Some of it's here, some of it's here. Some of it's like halfway down there. And some of it's at the very end. But you have to combine it. It takes expertise. Not everyone can do this. Not everyone would be able to isolate this 20. From the whole 550-page book there, 132-page book there, you have to be able to extract everything and establish a central theme. Do what? Establish a central theme and make everything revolve around it. So it's like sort of tie everything in. Okay, so this is what we do in our first 6 months without any textbook. Okay, now this 20% that I'm talking about, the portion of the rules that have the broadest application, that the aspects that you would expect to encounter in virtually every second sentence. Okay, so really important. So even amongst that 20, there's another 20. So without getting caught up in the complex math, so that would be 80-20 squared. 80-20 squared, that means that, you know this central theme that I'm talking about, the 20%? It has another more dense 20. So you zoom in even further. Zoom in even, you get like the oil. Like, you know, you have the nut, and then you have the outer shell, the inner shell, the nut, and then the oil. You see how it works? Okay, so from the 20, there's another 20, which is 4 of the total. Okay, you got that? 4% of the total? Does that make sense? Because 20% of 20% is 4. Like, you can, it's not that complicated. Okay, so 4% of the total. Now, what this gives you is 80 of 80. In other words, 64% of the benefits. 64% of the benefits. Okay, what we do in 3 weeks, we teach you this 4%. Yeah, to the point where one sister, she drove 22 hours from Mississippi. She drove 22 hours from Mississippi. She lived here at 6 months. And she was doing our program, our 6-month intensive, which is like the big boot camp. Okay? 6-month intensive where they rent their they rent their apartment, and you know, it's very aggravating. You know, it's not easy to live away from home like that for 6 months. And she actually drove. And then her and another sister from the UK and 2-3 others, they were living in an apartment and they were doing this. And she had studied Arabic at Harvard. And she goes, I learned more in the first day of class than I learned in a year at Harvard. Okay, I'll say that again. She said that I learned more in the first day than I learned in a year at Harvard. Okay, now 3 weeks online equals 4 days in the intensive. 4 days, okay, because that's full-time and this is part-time, right? You see? You know, people are going to say that's hype. You know, that can't be true. It's ridiculous. That seems like a ridiculous statement, but now it's not ridiculous because I told you how it's done. You see that? So you can teach 4% of the language in one day. At least introduce it. You can introduce 4% of the language in one day, which will give you half of the benefits. Right, okay, so it's not the quickness of the pace, it's the focus and the calculated introduction of the material. Understand this. If you take this away from today's session, it's enough. If you understand this from today's session, it's enough. Seriously. Like, I don't have to recover the material that was given in the videos. Understand this. It's not about the pace. It's about the calculated introduction of the material, because the difference between salad and garbage is timing. Okay, did you understand that statement? Okay. the difference between salad and garbage is timing. Right. Okay, so that's what it is. Okay, so conversational fluency, up until last year, I used to say that we don't do it. Okay, it was a flaw. Okay, like, you know, we had everything, but we didn't have that. So I would sort of come out and say it. You know, like, it's good to be honest, right? It's good to be honest. So if you don't have something in your program, and people ask you the question, you shouldn't twist it or something. Just tell them straight up that we don't have that. We don't focus on that. But instead, we channel that effort towards building strong reading and comprehension skills. Okay, that's what I used to tell them, whoever asked. I used to say that we don't focus on conversational fluency, but instead we channel all of that effort into building very strong reading and comprehension skills. But you know what? Now we have conversational fluency also, because in the second year of the program, half of the classes are taught in Arabic medium. Okay, so the process that we adopt and the method that we use is proven like gravity. It's proven like what? Like, there's no doubt about that. There's no doubt about the process. It's proven like gravity. Okay, it works. And look, but they're studying part-time. Like, you have to consider that. They're doing their job, and they have families, and they have everything. And in the second year of the program, they're at a level where they can be taught in Arabic, and they can fully comprehend and understand everything that's being said. That's an achievement. It's a great achievement. Okay, that's one thing. Okay, the next thing. Right, so our teacher, like, I have a second teacher that teaches in the second year. Okay, in the first year, I teach everything myself. Okay, and like your classes, even the mundane and boring verb practice sessions, I teach them myself. And that is another point of difference that you should keep in mind, that in other larger institutes, what happens is the senior teacher sort of constructs all the curriculum, and you know, a lot of effort. You know, people, you know, they have fine services. Everyone has fine services, right? But what happens is the senior instructor puts out the curriculum, and then the teaching is delegated. Isn't that right? So yeah, I was mentioning the points of difference, trying to get across to you the method that we adopt and the fact that it works. Okay, there's no doubt about that. There's no doubt about that it works, and the reason why. Okay, and reason why is really important. Okay, whenever we're introducing a new concept or a new principle or a new set of rules in grammar or morphology, we'll sort of give you the logic behind it. Okay, and I do this consistently. Okay, because I have studied logic, and I do teach logic, and it's one of the subjects that we teach in our second year, and we draw from Imam Al-Ghazali, who is an authority in the subject. He wrote like 3 or 4 books in logic. One extensive one is called Mi'yarul Ilm, Fi Fann Al-Mantiq, The Criterion of Knowledge. That's the name of the book. The name of the book is The Criterion of Knowledge in the Science of Logic. And he's got another one, The Just Balance. What's the name of the book? The Just Balance, Al-Qistas Al-Mustaqim. So we do these two books in our second year. Okay, and he's very eloquent. Imam Ghazali, he writes really nice Arabic. So it's for the dual benefit. You get the Arabic, you get the logic, and it helps you. And it's also plays a role in tafsir. It plays a role in understanding many of the verses of the Quran. Did you know that? Okay, people in the window. Did you know that logic plays a role in understanding many of the verses of the Quran? Or did you think logic was Greek? Okay, we probably have some people like that too. They think it's Greek. In other words, it's bad. Or it's wrong. Or it's something that should be avoided. Okay. Right. Yeah, so we have... there's people out there. That's fine. You know, there's some scholars that said that also. There's some scholars that sort of wrote against logic. And they discouraged the study of logic. But, the vast majority of scholars throughout the ages have recommended it. Okay, and have attached a lot of importance to it. Okay, so we have a small component, 14 weeks, where half of our time is spent on studying those two books from Al-Ghazali. Okay, the two books that I mentioned, the names of them. Again, introduce at the correct time, because if you do it too early, then it becomes like the salad in the garbage. Okay, is that clear? Yeah, it has to be introduced at the correct time. Right? Okay, now what was I saying? I was talking about logic playing a role in understanding the Quran. Okay, how was that? Okay, let me quote one verse, put you at ease. Put you at ease. I'll quote one verse and I'll put you at ease. Allah says at the beginning of Hud, okay, Surah Hud, at the beginning Allah says, Kitabun uhkimat ayatuhu. Kitabun uhkimat ayatuhu. Allah says, this is a book, the verses of which have been strengthened. Parentheses by rational argument. Is that clear? Okay, kitabun uhkimat ayatuhu. Okay, it's a book, the verses of which have been strengthened, parentheses by rational argument. Okay, now what happens when a speech is strengthened, like an essay or an article or a thesis or something, is strengthened with rational argument? What generally happens? Okay. What generally happens when a speech is strengthened with rational argument is that it becomes convoluted. It's difficult to understand. You have to read it like 4 times, or 5 times, or 6 times. It's hard. It doesn't sink in. Isn't that right? And the more stronger it is, the more airtight it is, the more airtight the argument is, the more difficult it is to understand. Isn't that right? This is human speech, and human speech is what happens. When a speech is strengthened with rational argument, the more strengthened it is, the more difficult it is to comprehend. And you have to read it like 6 times. Okay, now Allah says, أُحْكِمَتْ آيَاتُهُ ثُمَّ فُصِّلَتْ. But it's not like human speech because it's clear. ثُمَّ فُصِّلَتْ. Then they've also been clarified. So on the one hand, they're strengthened with rational argument, and on the other hand, they're clear. So now you see? So now if you know the formal methods of arranging known knowledge or accepted premises in order to lead to the conclusion, this is what logic is. Okay, that's like the first verse of Hud. Okay, so you understand that? Okay, so how to define, how to create definitions, and also how to construct arguments, and also how to detect the flaw in the erroneous argument. So that's the subject matter of logic. So it's taught in the second year. Okay? So since I study this, since I've taught this, what I do is in my grammar teaching, when I teach grammar, when I teach morphology, when I teach these other things, I sort of draw from it. It's like a toolbox. For me, it's like a toolbox. Is that clear? It's like I have this dial with several clicks on it. Devices. So I use the devices to clarify and to make things clear, and I give you the reason why. Okay, and I feel that the more the student understands the underlying reasoning, the more likely they are to remember it forever, or for longer, significantly longer. Like if I just give you the outcome and the final result, and you don't know the underlying reasoning, then you'll tend to forget. Okay, isn't that right? So one way of reinforcing it is to see rapid application of it. And we do that through the reading text, and this is one of the reasons why we leverage. We leverage the reading text. We're teaching grammar, we're teaching morphology, and we're also reading, analyzing, and translating at the same time. So vocabulary building, we like to do things simultaneously versus sequentially. That's another point of difference, that in our method, what we do is everything is simultaneous. It's not sequential. So, like study all of grammar first, don't begin the textbook until you study all of grammar first. So what that is, all dry theory. The student is inundated with dry theory, and they sort of lose their motivation. So what we have is we have a milestone. We say week 3. In week 3, we want to begin our stories of the prophets. whatever it takes to get there, we'll do it. And only that much, nothing more. You see, so once the book begins, then it becomes 50-50. Then half of our time is spent on the reading the vocabulary, and half of our time is spent on introducing new grammar. You see, sort of fill in that the extra percentage. So in the first 3 weeks, we give you 4%, and then throughout the next few months, we give you the remaining 16. So we're only at 20. By the time we hit month 6, we're about 20. But we know it really well. This 20, we know it really well. And this 20 is very dense, and it gives you 80% of the benefits right there. Okay, and then the book begins in grammar. And all of this that was taught in the first 6 months is revisited in much greater detail. Is that okay? And then all the missing pieces, the things that we ignored and suppressed, are now covered in that book. And the book is without vowels. It's an unvoweled text. Is that okay? In month 7. It's an unvoweled text, and I've taught it 16 times. I think 17 now, because we just finished it yesterday. Yeah, every year I do it 3 times. Okay, with the March class, with the October class, and then I do it in the intensive. So I've taught that book. It's the best book in the world. It's the best book in the world for grammar. But people don't appreciate its value. Okay, now value. Another point now. Okay, hopefully, are people following? You're seeing all this stuff that I'm telling you is relevant, right? I'm not just filling the time, am I? Yeah, I think this is more important. Yeah, for this first session, second session, this first couple of weeks, I think this is more important. Because the content, you can get that from the video. Yeah, so yeah, the methodology, the value. Yeah, I was going to talk about value. Yes. So this 132-page book in grammar that we study from the 7th month onwards, okay, it's an exceptional text. Okay, I've taught it 16 times, and I can say that it's the best book in the world for grammar. Okay, not because it contains the most information. That's not what it is. Okay, there's books out there that contain much more information than this one does. Okay, and not because it's the most clear. Okay, we don't want that. We don't want the most clear. You see, we want a bit of complexity. Isn't that right? People, what they do is they shy away from complexity. Yeah, the name of the book is Hidayatul Nahw. Most people, what they do, not just in learning Arabic, but everywhere in life, they want to do the least amount of work. Okay, what do they want? They want to do 95% of people out there, they want to do the least amount of work, and sort of they want everything. They want A, the keyword A, you know, A strategy, or A system, or A principle. Okay, sort of take everything. They want everything done and ready for them. So, and they shy away from the complexity. They don't embrace the complexity. Okay, but the thing with us is that in order for a book to enter into the curriculum, we have a rule. Okay, guess what that rule is? Okay, I don't know, I'll just go ahead and tell you. In order for a book to enter into our curriculum, the rule is that it has to relieve from 12 others. What does it have to do? It has to relieve from 12 other books in its area. In its particular area of the language. So if it's a grammar book, it has to relieve from 12 other grammar books. You read that one book, it's as if you read 12 other grammar books. Is that okay? One book in Balagha is as if you read 12 other books in Balagha. Yeah, this is our strict criterion for introducing a text into the curriculum. Right, why? Because the thing at the end of the day, okay, now I hope I'm not intimidating people here. Yeah, I run the risk of doing that also, right? Okay, so now this book, this 132-page one, it's a very valuable book. Okay, but I have friends that are scholars, and what they also teach Arabic, but what they've done is they've taken that book away, and they've dismissed it, and they've replaced it with others. Okay, why? Because maybe they haven't recognized the value. You see? Okay, so let me give you an example of that. Okay, now, this goes for any service. Any service out there that has some inherent value, that value will differ depending on the person that uses it. Is that clear? People in the window, are you following? Whatever the service is, depending on the person that it's directed towards, the value of the service will change. Okay, like the example is carpet cleaning. Now, carpet cleaning is a service that's valuable. Okay, but for a person that owns a $200,000 house, it might not be that valuable. Okay, but for a person that owns a $2 million mansion, carpet cleaning is much more valuable. Isn't that right? It is. It's a more valuable service. Okay. Now, if the person that owns the $2 million mansion, if they're giving a party on Friday evening to a bunch of rich people that will come and donate to their election campaign, then all of a sudden, the value of carpet cleaning goes through the roof. Isn't that right? Okay, now just pretend on Thursday afternoon the dog peed on the carpet. And on Friday evening he's going to give a party. What happens now? There's no limit. There's no limit to the value anymore. You see that? So the books that we introduce into the curriculum, they have great value, but only to the correct student. Okay, so your goal has to be distinct and clearly defined. Okay, so whatever your goal is, okay, so our goal is to appreciate the Quran and understand its linguistic miracle and sort of the nuances and everything about it, like as a pre-Islamic Arab would understand it. And also, not just that, but all text, religious or otherwise. Like I can tell you, like if I open up media and if I'm watching Al Jazeera or something, I can understand pretty much everything what they're saying. Okay, they're speaking good Arabic. Okay, it's modern standard. But the difference between modern standard and classical is not that huge. It's the same grammar, pretty much, with the exception of maybe a few handful of rules. Okay, which you sort of pick up very quickly anyways. So if you know one, then the transition from one to the other is not very difficult. The transition from classical to modern standard is not very difficult. Is that clear? Right, so to understand, to be able to comprehend any Arabic, okay, primarily religious, but also other Arabic, then the way these rules are documented in the manuals that the scholars have written for us, it's not done anywhere else like that. Okay? Is that clear? I believe so. At the end of the second year, inshallah, you will be able to comprehend a great deal. Okay, vocabulary building will take time. Okay, we can't force that. We can force the other things. We can force the grammar to occur earlier. We can trigger the rest of the aspects. But the vocabulary building will take time. Okay, like generally for us, it took 2 or 3 years before we were completely independent from a dictionary. Like it didn't happen that quickly. It took time, right? Okay, so I gave you the carpet cleaning example. I hope you understood that. Okay, next thing. This is important also. Next thing is that in these initial stages, in these early stages, when that book begins, okay, listen carefully, when that Stories of the Prophets book begins, in the first few passages, it will be challenging. Okay, because you've just been taught a very dense amount of theory in the first 3 weeks, and then immediately we start the book that normally is delayed for 7 months. Like, people don't start that book in the third week. You have to appreciate that, you have to understand that, right? That book does not start that early. Okay, so we're starting in the third week, so in the first few passages it will be challenging. Okay, but what you need to do is embrace that. Okay, like if there's a little trouble and you're deciphering, you're trying to understand it, a couple of things. First of all, we won't attempt to take each and every sentence to 100% when we're analyzing. So our purpose in the book is not to talk about each and every structure, because that would only be possible if we taught you all of grammar. But clearly we did not. We did not teach you all of grammar. We taught you only a selected amount. So whatever pertains directly to that theory we taught you, we will highlight it. And then gradually we will introduce new discussions as the book progresses. So it's possible that we might pick out a sentence, begin analyzing it, and stop at 85%. Are you following what I'm saying? In other words, we won't take it to its very end conclusion. We'll stop at 85%. So at that stage, it's very important that the student does not request the remaining 15. Okay, that would be inappropriate. If you request for the full understanding of the sentence, whereas we're stopping at 85, then that's, you missed the point. Okay, because remember, in this first 6 months, we want to stick to that 20. And maybe that 15 pertains to outside the 20. So we're going to have to suppress it. We're going to have to say, oh, don't worry about that. Like that. Okay? So that's another point. Yeah, so you need to, it will be given to you in bite-sized consumable chunks. Okay, so you have to sort of remain satisfied with the amount that we give you, and try not to ask questions that are beyond the scope. Okay, so that's a tip for success. It's a tip to remain focused on that. Now the thing is, for the advanced students, my advice is that when you approach the material, Okay, it's possible that you might have already been exposed to a lot of it. But what we need to do is to look for a deeper understanding. Does that make sense? Okay, because there's a lot of people out there, and I get a lot of questions when they ask, and they want to jump semesters. A lot of people, they want to jump semesters. Okay, so I don't know. Like, the thing is, the truly successful people don't do that. Okay, if first they'll sort of do their due diligence, and they'll try to determine that the teaching method, the teaching style, all of that is like solid, okay, and we have a free trial, we have all of that, so they can do that, okay. But beyond that, what the advanced student needs to do is they need to look for the deeper understanding, okay, and they need to look for the slight edge. Does that make sense? So to not expect everything to be new. Yeah, that's what I'm trying to say here. Okay, and this is exemplified in our second year students, because what they do generally is they do the Hidayat al-Nahw book twice. Okay, like a lot of them, 80% of them, they do it twice. So they do it once in their semester when they're supposed to be doing it, and then they come back and they do it again. So why are they doing it again? Because they're looking for the deeper understanding, they're looking for the slight edge. And this is the type of mindset you need to be in to succeed. Is that clear? There's no problem with that. You know, if you're coming back and you're redoing a semester, there's no problem with that. It's actually good. It's actually good because you're getting a deeper understanding, and you know, the light bulb can go off. You don't know when the light bulb will go off, right? You get that one sentence, or that one concept, or that one idea, or that one strategy that connects the dots for you. It's gold. If you come out with one idea, or two ideas, or 10 ideas, that's golden. Isn't that right? Okay, so as for the beginner brothers and sisters, okay, the 40% of the class that do not have any previous exposure, yeah, the beginners, okay, like what I'll say to you is that, inshallah, it's your first attempt. Okay, here's my advice. Are you ready? Are you ready for the advice to the beginners? Okay, this is after like a decade of teaching, right? So, you know, clearly I know what I'm talking about, right? I don't think there's any doubt there. Like, we have it down, not just the sciences, but we have a science of teaching the sciences. We brought it down to a science, okay? It's like gravity, it's proven. So listen carefully, here's the advice. Now, whenever I introduce a new topic, okay, beyond week three you should listen to it 2-3 times. If it's the first eight recordings. Okay, and a lot of people have been registering since a long time, and they're the lucky ones. Okay, number one, they got a discount, they got like a promotion, or they got a half-off offer, or whatever. So that's not that significant. The true significance is the ability to move ahead with the material. And this is the reason why I was pushing it so much. Is that clear, people in the window? That register early, you know, secure your seat, do this, get ahead with the material. The whole point is to make these initial stages manageable. Okay, so you're very fortunate. If you signed up early, you're very fortunate. A lot of people are up at week 8. You know, they've already gone forward until week 8. Okay, but if that's not the case, then still, you know, not a problem. Okay, listen carefully. Now, these first 8 recordings, I would suggest you listen to them at least 4 times. Okay, listen to them. If you've already listened to it once, listen to it a second time now. And then we have breaks that come up after every 4 weeks of continuous classes, a break. So when those breaks come, try to listen to maybe only the audio, which you can put to an iPod or some device, and you can listen to it in your car. Is that okay? You can do that, right? And try to get through maybe 3-4 rounds of it. The first 8 recordings, if you can do that, that would be great. That would be really great, okay? Now, beyond that, beyond the introductory theory, whenever I introduce a new topic, when we're doing the reading text, there is only one reason why I'm talking about it. There's no second reason. There's only one reason why I would choose to introduce a new topic. People in the window, are you following? No, first 8 recordings. Okay, 2.5 weeks. That's what I meant. If I said 8 weeks, mistake. Okay, now, there's only one reason why I would introduce a new topic beyond week 3. And that is because it has broad application. It belongs to the early 20% of the language. Okay, now what does that entail? Clearly that it will come again and again. Does that make sense? Otherwise I wouldn't be talking about it. You see, so my very act of speaking about it ensures that it will be repeated again and again. So you see, the very first time a topic is introduced and it's not 100% clear, move forward, don't worry about it. That's my point. Is that clear to the beginners? Yeah, is that clear? Move forward. Like, if you get 60-70% retention, understanding of it, move forward, because the structure will recur. Yeah, because that's why I talked about it in the first place, right? The structure will recur, and the more times you see it, the more clear it become. Isn't that right? So it can't get more obscure, it has to get more clear. And I think I'm running out of time. I have about 10 minutes left. Okay. Yeah, they're asking about the light bulb. Okay, now the light bulb, it happens at about week 12. Okay, what was I going to say? Yeah, I was going to say that, look, generally, what happens is, when the individual has a clear goal, and they're moving towards that goal, rarely does anyone reach their goal in a straight line. Is that clear? People in the window? It doesn't happen. That's not how it's meant to be. It's not meant to be in a straight line. Now, an enormous amount of frustration results. An enormous amount of frustration results because people think it should be like that. People think it should be in a straight line. But that's not how it is. You see? Yeah. Okay. So, no. You know what it is? A lot of it's because of a damaged self-image or lack of confidence. Okay. But you people don't have that problem. Why? Because you've signed up for the program. You've taken the first step, right? And you need a healthy self-image in order to do that. Isn't that right? It reinforces the healthy self-image, the fact that you've registered for the program. Okay, so that's one obstacle removed. Right there. Yeah, that's one obstacle removed. Okay, because you signed up. You took the first step. Now, the next thing is understand that people, when they reach their goal, rarely do they do it in a straight line. It doesn't happen in a straight line. Okay, instead, what happens is that provided that there's clarity in the goal, listen carefully, provided that there's clarity in the goal, the person will make mistakes, okay? And there will be course corrections. And the clearer the goal, the faster they'll reach the goal, with a minimum amount of zigzags. Are you following? It's like a guided torpedo, the analogy they give. The analogy they give is of a guided torpedo, and sort of it has that sonar or that radar, and it's able to sense the target. So it goes in one direction, realizes that it's wrong, and then overcorrects in the other direction, and then recorrects, and then, you know, before you know it, it hits the target. Okay, so the difference between the successful and the unsuccessful is clarity in goals. That's what it is. Okay, and being able to make mistakes and not considering it a failure. It's not a failure. Okay, if you make mistakes. So what you do is every time the mistake is made, you note the degree of error. And it's our job, it's my job as a teacher to highlight the degree of error, the source of the confusion. So you'll notice in the Wednesday classes when this is why I don't delegate it. Is that clear, people in the window? Because I know other people won't be able to do it, only I can do it, right? Like, I can't duplicate myself, can I? Okay. So what happens is when the students are reciting the table, then in between tables, I will make the comment and I will tell them about the mistake or whatever, what happened. And sort of they'll know the degree of the error and the source of the confusion so as not to make it next time. So eventually the number of mistakes will reduce to the point where success is reached. And then once success is reached, then the student, what they need to do is remember the success and forget the failure. Is that clear? Yeah, so you just imitate the success every time now. Right, this is how proficiency is attained in everything. Like, have you ever noticed the middle fielder in baseball, when they jump up and they catch that ball out of nowhere? Like, how do they do that? Okay, it's because they've been through trial and error, like practice, years and years of practice. So they have this stored in their servo mechanism. So they have all this stored, and then you know, because if you look at it, it doesn't seem possible, because they have to calculate the initial velocity of the ball leaving the bat, and then the progressive decrease of the velocity, and then the windage and the angle, and then their own running, the angle, the direction of their own running, and then they have to throw out their hand and make their hand reach with the ball or before the ball. And that's consciously, if one attempts to do that, it's pretty much impossible. People in the window, are you following? Okay, you can turn it into a cricket example. Okay, same thing. In cricket or baseball, whatever. Okay, so how does it happen? It happens because they've done it so many times and they made so many mistakes, but at one point they did reach a success. So that success is stored there, and then they take in the data from their eyes and their ears, they take in the data, and instructions are given to their leg muscles, and they just run. And then everything just falls in place. People in the window, is that clear? The leg muscles are told to run, and then everything just happens automatically. Right, so this is the analogy for that. Okay, so there's going to be course corrections. Don't worry about that. Okay, there'll be mistakes, but that's fine. Okay, not a problem. Right? Yeah, then it becomes second nature. That's what they call it. And it's in all animals. All animals have this. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, "A'ata kulla shay'in khalqahu thumma hada," that He gave to every creation. He gave to everything creation, and then He put in it this guidance mechanism. Like, quite literally, that's what the verse is saying. It put inside, it's geared towards success. So our Creator has put within us a mechanism that's geared towards success. So if utilized properly, the whole world will be successful. Is that right? But then people mess it up because of various reasons. Is that clear? Yeah, so in the animals, it's pretty simple, because in the animals, all they have to do is find food, and they have to procreate. So whatever is needed in order to do those two things, they'll do it. And they don't have to be taught. Like a squirrel will gather the nuts. If a squirrel is born in spring and has never seen a winter in its life, it still knows to gather the nuts. Okay, it still knows. No one needs to teach it that. Okay, same thing with the birds, that they fly thousands of miles, and they know. They don't have a GPS, or they don't have any weather forecast or anything like that, but they go to the correct place because their mechanism is guiding them there. Is that right? Okay. So inshallah, you'll learn a lot more than just Arabic. Okay, you probably figured that much already, right? So inshallah, remain committed and watch those videos. And what else is there? Yeah, the weekly amount of commitment, like I mentioned at the beginning, 3 hours to watch the videos, 2 hours to attend the live classes, and then you're going to need about two more. If you can give two more, you'll know it very well. So grand total will be 7 hours per week. Commitment every fifth week is off, and you can use that fifth week to sort of relax, or maybe go back and redo some of the material, or maybe move forward. Okay, there's a lot of convenience in many places. Okay, if you miss the session, you can come to the other session. If you miss both sessions, you can listen to the recording. Like that. So we've tried to make it as manageable as possible, and we put out the videos and the audios and the transcripts to cater to all various learning styles. Is that okay? Yeah, so I think you're going to have a great time, all of you. So stick it through, inshallah. And don't aim for that 100%. Like, you know, especially to the beginners, what I was saying. Like, you know, if you get 70, 80 of it, move forward. You know, don't aim. You know, that course correction, just wait for that to happen. Okay, eventually, you'll hit your target, and after that, it won't make a difference. Once you hit your target, it doesn't matter how many course corrections you went through to get there, because it's the same. You got it. It's like the children that learn how to write or read. Okay, somebody learns it at age 4, somebody learns at age 5, somebody learns at age 8. But when they all know it, you can't tell the difference who learned it first and who learned it second. Isn't that right? Yeah, but when they're learning, the parents are so worried. The parents are, you know, that's an unnecessary frustration. It's an unnecessary worry. Because once they're all reading, you can't really tell who learned it first and who learned it second. Okay, look at that. Okay, by the way, I'm not a psychologist. So whatever I say, you know, you can't really take it too serious. Okay, so at your own discretion, you know, sort of, it's a disclaimer. Okay, that's my disclaimer to you, that you should not listen to me when I say something about that. Okay? Yeah, but I read books, and everybody should read. Okay, by the way, let me give you that one book recommendation. Okay, that torpedo thing, the servo mechanism thing, you know, the baseball analogy, and the squirrel, all of that, I got it from a classic, I think in the 1970s it was written. It's called Psycho-Cybernetics. Okay, and the book is The New Psycho-Cybernetics. Okay, it's an expanded edition of it. The New Psycho-Cybernetics by Dr. Maxwell Maltz. What's his name? Maxwell Maltz, and it's a great book. It's, if you have 10 books, then this is the book you need to have. It's one of the 10 best books out there. Okay, it's 30 million people have transformed their lives because of it. And it's the science of success. That's what the book is about. It's the science of success. And it teaches you how to you know, get your cerebral mechanism in order that, you know, sort of, it becomes effortless. It becomes what? You know, attaining success becomes effortless. It's all subconscious. You don't have to consciously do it anymore. And inshallah, be punctual with the classes. Don't miss the live classes. And don't think that these live classes will be a repeat of what's in the videos. Clearly, you've seen today that's not the case. Isn't that right? Actually, none of what I said was contained in the recordings. None. Okay, like 98% of it was brand new. Okay, so this is what you can expect from the live sessions. Okay? So that's all we have for today. So we'll see you inshallah in the Wednesday session. And like I said, just manage your time properly. And inshallah, and don't aim for too much. Don't aim for 100%. And you'll be fine. Inshallah. And use those breaks properly. And re-listen to certain key lectures. And don't feel shy on that. If you have to watch it 3-4 times, that's fine. Not a problem. This is what the successful people do. They go back and they do it again. Okay, they're looking for that one sentence or that one idea or that one strategy that connects the dots for them and lights up, and you know, the light bulb goes off like that. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.